I have spoken of Inquisitors and their ability to pierce copper clouds. As I said, this power is easily understood when one realizes that many Inquisitors were Seekers before their transformation, and that meant their bronze became twice as strong. There is at least one other case of a person who could pierce copper clouds. In her case, however, the situation was slightly different. She was a Mistborn from birth, and her sister was the Seeker. The death of that sister, and subsequent inheritance of power, via the hemallergic spike used to kill that sister, left her twice as good at burning bronze as a typical Mistborn, and that let her see through the copper clouds of lesser allomancers. 73. The mists changed. Tensun looked up through the ash. He lay, exhausted and numb, atop the hill before the field of lava that barred his path eastward. His muscles felt lethargic, signs that he had been pushing too hard. Even the blessing of potency could only do so much. He stood, forcing his horse's body to rise, looking at his nighttime surroundings. Endless fields of ash extended behind him. Even the track he had worn up to the top of the hill was close to being filled in. The lava burned ahead of him. However, something seemed different. What? The mists flowed, moving about, swirling. Generally, the mists had a very chaotic pattern. Some parts would flow one way, while others would spin about in other directions. There were often rivers of motion, but they never conformed to one another. Most often, they followed the wind. This night, the wind was still. And yet, the mist seemed to be flowing in one direction. As soon as he noticed it, Tensun found it one of the most singularly strange sights he had ever beheld. Instead of swirling or spinning, the mists moved together in a seemingly purposeful flow. They coursed around him, and he felt like a stone in a huge incorporeal river. The mists flowed toward Luthadel. "Perhaps I'm not too late," he thought, regaining some of his hope. He shook himself from his stupor and took off in a gallop back the way he had come.
"Breezy, come look at this."
Breeze rubbed his eyes, looking across the room to where Aurianne sat in her nightgown, looking out the window. It was late, too late. He should have been asleep. He looked back toward his desk and the treaty he had been working on. It was the sort of thing Sazed or Elland should have had to write, not Breeze.
"You know," he said, "I distinctly remember telling Kelsio that I did not want to end up in charge of anything important. Running kingdoms and cities is work for fools, not thieves. Government is far too inefficient to provide a suitable income."
"Breezy,"
Aurianne said insistently, pulling on his emotions quite blatantly. He sighed, rising.
"Very well," he grumbled.
Honestly, he thought, how is it, of all the qualified people in Kelsier's little crew, that I end up the one leading a city? He joined Aurianne at the window, peeking out.
"What is it exactly I'm supposed to see, dear? I don't..."
He trailed off, frowning. Beside him, Aurianne touched his arm, seeming concerned as she looked out the window.
"Now that is strange," he said.
The mists flowed by outside, moving like a river, and they seemed to be accelerating. The door to his room slammed open. Breeze jumped, and Aurianne squeaked.
"Gather the people," the boy croaked, holding the doorframe to keep from collapsing. "We need to move."
"My dear boy," Breeze said, unsettled.
Aurianne took Breeze's arm, holding on quietly yet tightly.
"My dear boy, what is this? You should be in bed."
"Gather them, Breeze,"
Spook said, suddenly sounding very authoritative.
"Take them to the storage cavern. Pack them in, quickly. We don't have much time."
"What do you make of it?"
Ham asked, wiping his brow. Blood immediately oozed from the cut again, running down the side of his face. Elland shook his head, breathing deeply, almost in gasps, as he leaned back against the side of a jagged rock outcropping. He closed his eyes, fatigue making his body shake despite his pewter.
"I don't really care about mists right now, Ham," he whispered. "I can barely think straight."
Ham grunted in agreement. Around them, men screamed and died, fighting the endless waves of Kolos. They had some of the creatures bottled up in the natural stone corridor leading into Fadrix, but the real fights were happening on the rugged rock formations that enclosed the city. Too many Kolos, tired of waiting outside, had begun crawling up to attack from the sides. It was a precarious battlefield, one that often demanded Ellen's attention. They had a large number of Allomancers, but most of them were inexperienced. They hadn't even known about their powers until this very day. Elland was a one-man reserve force, bounding across the defensive lines, plugging holes, while Set directed tactics below. More screams, more death, more metal hitting metal, rock, and flesh.
"Why?" Elland thought with frustration. "Why can't I protect them?"
He flared pewter, taking a deep breath and standing up in the night. The mists flowed overhead as if pulled by some invisible force. For a moment, even exhausted as he was, he froze.
"Lord Venture!"
someone shouted. Elland spun, looking toward the sound. A youthful messenger scrambled up the side of the rock outcropping, wide-eyed.
"Oh no," Elland thought, tensing.
"My lord! They're retreating!"
the lad said, stumbling to a halt before Elland.
"What?"
Ham asked, standing.
"It's true, my lord! They pulled back from the city gates! They're leaving!"
Elland immediately dropped a coin, shooting himself into the sky. Mist flowed around him, its tendrils a million tiny strings being yanked eastward. Below, he saw the hulking dark forms of the Kolos running away in the night.
"So many of them," he thought, landing on a rock formation. "We'd never have beaten them, even with Allomancers." But they were leaving, running away at an inhuman speed, moving toward Luthadel.
Vin fought like a tempest, spraying rainwater through the dark night as she threw back Inquisitor after Inquisitor. She shouldn't have been alive. She'd run out of pewter, yet she felt it flaring inside, burning brighter than it ever had before. She felt as if the bleeding sun itself blazed within her, running molten through her veins. Her every steel push or iron pull slammed against her as if it were made with the power of Duralumin. Yet the metal reserves within her did not vanish. Instead, they grew stronger, vaster. She wasn't certain what was happening to her. However, she did know one thing. Suddenly fighting 12 Inquisitors at once did not seem like an impossible task. She cried out, slapping an Inquisitor to the side, then ducking a pair of axes. She crouched, then jumped, leaping in an arc through the rain, coming down beside Marsh, who still lay stunned from where she had thrown him after her rebirth. He looked up, finally seeming to focus on her, then cursed and rolled away as Vin punched downward. Her fist shattered a cobblestone, throwing back a ripple of dark rainwater, splashing her arms and face, leaving specks of black ash behind. She looked up toward Marsh. He stood erect, bare-chested, his spikes glistening in the darkness. Vin smiled, then spun on the Inquisitors rushing her from behind. She yelled, dodging a swinging axe. Had these creatures ever seemed quick to her? Within the embrace of limitless pewter, she seemed to move as the mist itself did. Light, quick, unchained. The sky spun in a tempest of its own as she attacked, moving in a swirling frenzy. The mists whirled around her arm in a vortex as she punched one Inquisitor in the face, throwing him backward. The mists danced before her as she caught the fallen Inquisitor's axe, then sheared the arm off another of the creatures. She took his head next, leaving the others stunned with the speed of her motion. That's two dead. They attacked again. She bounded backward, pulling herself toward the spires above. The trail of ravens launched after her, their robes snapping in the wet darkness. She hit a spire feet first, then launched upward and pulled on an Inquisitor's spikes. something that was easy to do with her new power. Her chosen quarry lurched upward ahead of his companions. Vin shot downward, meeting the Inquisitor in the air. She grabbed him by the eye spikes and pulled, ripping them out with her newfound strength. Then she kicked off the creature and pushed against the spikes in his chest. She shot upward in the air, leaving a corpse flipping end over end in the rain beneath her, massive gaps in its head where the spikes had been. They could lose some spikes and live, she knew, but the removal of others was deadly. Losing both eye spikes appeared to be enough to kill them. 3. Inquisitors hit the spire she had pushed off of, and they leaped up to follow her. Vin smiled, then threw the spikes she still carried, catching one of the Inquisitors in the chest with them. Then she pushed. The unfortunate Inquisitor was thrown downward, and he hit a flat rooftop so violently that it pushed several of his spikes up out of his body. They sparkled and spun in the air, then fell beside his immobile corpse. 4. Vin's mist cloak fluttered as she shot upward in the sky. 8 Inquisitors still chased her, reaching for her. Crying out, Vin raised her hands toward the creatures as she began to fall. Then she pushed. She hadn't realized how strong her new powers were. They were obviously akin to Duralumin, since she could affect the spikes inside of an Inquisitor's body. Her overpowering push forced the whole flock of them downward, as if they'd been swatted. In fact, her push also hit the metal spire directly beneath her. The stone architecture holding the spire in place exploded, spraying chips and dust outward as the spire itself crushed the building beneath it. And Vin was thrown upward. Very quickly. She blasted through the sky, mists streaking past her, the force of her push straining even her mist-enhanced body with the stress of sudden acceleration. And then she was out. She emerged into the open air like a fish leaping from the water. Beneath her, the mists covered the nighttime land like an enormous white blanket. Around her, there was only open air. Unsettling. Strange. Above her, a million stars, normally visible only to allomancers, watched her like the eyes of those long dead. Her momentum ran out, and she spun quietly, whiteness below, light above. She noticed that she'd trailed a line of mist up out of the main cloud. This hung like a tether, ready to pull her back down. In fact, all the mists were spinning slightly in what looked like an enormous weather pattern. A whirlpool of white. The heart of the whirlpool was directly beneath her. She fell, plummeting back down toward the earth below. She entered the mists, drawing them behind her, breathing them in. Even as she fell, she could feel them surging about her in a massive, empire-wide spiral. She welcomed them into herself, and the vortex of mist around her grew more and more violent. Instants later, Luthadel appeared, a massive black welt upon the land. She fell down, streaking toward Kreedic Shaw and its spires, which seemed to be pointing toward her. The Inquisitors were still there. She could see them standing on a flat rooftop, amid the spires, looking up. Waiting. There were only 8, not counting Marsh. One lay impaled on a nearby spike from her last push. The blow had apparently torn the center spike out of his back. 5, Vin thought, landing a short distance from the Inquisitors. If a single push could throw her up so far she passed out of the mists, then what would happen if she pushed outward? She waited quietly as the Inquisitors charged. She could see desperation in their movements. Whatever was happening to Vin, Ruin was apparently willing to risk every one of his creatures in the hopes that they would kill her before she was complete. Mists pulled toward her, moving more and more quickly, drawn into her like water being sucked down a drain. When the Inquisitors had almost reached her, she pushed outward again, throwing metal away from her with all the force she could muster, while at the same time strengthening her body with a massive flare of pewter. Stone cracked, Inquisitors cried out, and Kreedic Shaw exploded. Towers toppled from their foundations, doors ripped free from their frames, windows shattered, blocks burst, the entire structure torn to pieces as its metals lurched away. She screamed as she pushed, the ground trembling beneath her.
Everything, even the rock and stone, which obviously contained residual traces of metal ore, was thrown violently back. She gasped, stopping her push. She drew in breath, feeling the rain splatter against her. The building that had been the Lord Ruler's palace was gone, flattened to rubble which spread out and away from her like an impact crater. An inquisitor burst from the rubble, face bleeding from where one of his spikes had ripped free. Vin raised a hand, pulling and steadying herself from behind. The inquisitor's head lurched, his other eye spike pulling free. He toppled forward, and Vin caught the spike, pushing it toward another inquisitor who was rushing her. He raised a hand to push it back at her, and she drove it forward anyway, ignoring his push with a quick push backward to stabilize herself. He was thrown away and slammed into the remnants of a wall. The spike continued forward, pushed like a fish darting through water, ignoring the current. The spike slammed into the Inquisitor's face, crushing it, pinning his head back against the granite. 6 and 7. Vin stalked across the rubble, mists storming. Overhead they swirled furiously, forming a funnel cloud with her at its focus. It was like a tornado, but with no air currents. Just impalpable mists, as if painted on the air, spinning, swirling, coming to her silent command. She stepped over an Inquisitor corpse that had been crushed by the rubble. She kicked his head free to make certain he was dead. 8. 3 rushed her at once. She screamed, turning, pulling on a fallen spire. The massive piece of metal, nearly as big as a building itself, lurched into the air, spinning at her command. She slammed it into the Inquisitors like a club, crushing them. She turned, leaving the enormous iron pillar resting atop their corpses. 9, 10, 11. The storm broke, though the mists continued to swirl. The rain let up as Vin walked across the shattered building, eyes searching for alamantic blue lines that were moving. She found one trembling before her, and she picked up and tossed aside an enormous marble disc. An Inquisitor groaned beneath. She reached for him and realized that her hand was leaking mist. It didn't just swirl around her, it came from her, smoking forth from the pores in her skin. She breathed out and mist puffed before her, then immediately entered the vortex and was pulled in again. She grabbed the Inquisitor, pulling him up. His skin began to heal as he used his ferrochemical powers, and he struggled, growing stronger. Yet even the awesome strength of ferrochemy made little difference against Vin. She pulled his eye spikes free, tossed them aside, then left the corpse slumping in the rubble. 12. She found the last Inquisitor huddled in a pool of rainwater. It was Marsh. His body was broken, and he was missing one of the spikes from his side. The spike hole was bleeding, but that one apparently wasn't enough to kill him. He turned his pair of spike heads to look up at her, expression stiff. Vin paused, breathing deeply, feeling rainwater trail down her arms and drip off her fingers. She still burned within, and she looked up, staring into the vortex of mists. It was spinning so powerfully, twisting down. She was having trouble thinking for all the energy that coursed through her. She looked down again. "This isn't Marsh," she thought. "Kelsier's brother is long dead. This is something else. Ruin." The mist swirled in a final tempest, the circular motion growing faster yet tighter as the final wisps of mist spun down and were pulled into Vin's body. Then the mists were gone. Starlight shone above, and flecks of ash fell in the air. The night landscape was eerie in its stillness, blackness, and clarity. Even with tin, which let her see at night far better than a normal person could, the mists had always been there. To see the night landscape without them was wrong. Vin began to tremble. She gasped, feeling the fire within her blaze hotter and hotter. It was alomancy as she'd never known it. It felt as if she had never understood it. The power was far greater than metals, mere pushes and pulls. It was something awesomely more vast, a power that men had used yet never comprehended. She forced her eyes open.
There was one Inquisitor left. She had drawn them to Luthadel, forced them to expose themselves, laying a trap for someone far more powerful than herself. And the mists had responded. It was time to finish what she had come to do. Marsh watched limply as Vin fell to her knees. Shaking, she reached for one of his eye spikes. There was nothing he could do. He'd used up most of the healing in his metal mind, and the rest would do him no good. Stored healing worked by way of speed. He could either heal himself a small amount very quickly, or wait and heal himself slowly yet completely. Either way, he was dead as soon as Vin pulled those spikes free.
Finally, he thought with relief as she grabbed the first spike. Whatever I did, it worked. Somehow.
He felt Ruin's rage, felt his master realizing his mistake. In the end, Marsh had mattered. In the end, Marsh hadn't given up. He'd done Mare proud. Vin pulled the spike free. It hurt, of course. Hurt far more than Marsh would have thought possible. He screamed, both in pain and in joy, as Vin reached for the other eye spike. And then she hesitated. Marsh waited expectantly. She shook, then coughed, cringing. She gritted her teeth, reaching toward him. Her fingers touched the spike. And then Vin vanished. She left behind the misty outline of a young woman that dissipated and was soon gone too, leaving Marsh alone in the wreckage of a palace, head blazing with pain, body covered in sickly, sodden ash.